The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 3, text number 29, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasat Hikari, recorded on January 14th, 2007, in Suva, Fiji.
So tonight we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 3, Karma Yoga, text number 29. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Prakritir guna sammudha sajjate guna karmasu tana krishna vido mandhan krishna vino vichalayet. Bewildered by the modes of material nature, the ignorant fully engage themselves in material activities and become attached. But the wise should not unsettle them. Although their duties are inferior due to the performer's lack of knowledge. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Persons who are unknowledgeable falsely identify with gross material consciousness and are full of material designations. This body is a gift of the material nature, and one who is too much attached to the bodily consciousness is called munda, or a lazy person, without understanding of spirit soul. Ignorant men think of the body as the self. They accept bodily connections with others as kinsmanship. The land in which the body is obtained is their object of worship, and they consider the formalities of religious rituals to be ends in themselves. Social work, nationalism, and altruism are some of the activities for such materially designated persons. Under the spell of such designations, they are always busy in the material field. For them, spiritual realization is a myth, and so they are not interested. Those who are enlightened in spiritual life, however, should not try to agitate such materially engrossed persons. Better to prosecute one's own spiritual activities silently. Such bewildered persons may be engaged in such primary moral principles of life as nonviolence and similar materially benevolent work. Men who are ignorant cannot appreciate activities in Krishna consciousness. And therefore, Krishna advises us not to disturb them and simply waste valuable time. But the devotees of the Lord are more kind than the Lord, because they understand the purpose of the Lord. Consequently, they undertake all kinds of risks, even to the point of approaching ignorant men to try to engage them in the acts of Krishna consciousness, which are absolutely necessary for the human being. Om Ajnana Timanandasya Gnanjana Shalakaya Shakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Gadam Hayam Dadati Svapadantikam. So, in the 10 offenses against the holy name, There is an offense which is reminds us of this verse. And that offense is to preach the glories of the Lord to the faithless. Now someone may think, well, this is very nice, because actually I didn't want to go out on Sankirtan and distribute books. I didn't want to preach. So now I have the justification for not engaging in preaching activities, because it is stated it's an offense to preach to the faithless. But at the same time, we see that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he was very keen, very eager to distribute Krishna consciousness. Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada. Does that mean they are offenders against the holy name? No, obviously not. They are great acharyas. So one may sometimes be bewildered. What is the proper understanding? And this verse explains it very nicely. The purport makes it very clear. Of course, there are different angles of vision. There's different ways you can see it. It's like a diamond, a multifaceted diamond. You can look at it from this angle, from this angle, from this angle. From many different angles you can examine that diamond and appreciate its beauty from many different angles of vision. So one angle of vision is this. Not preach to the faithless. Actually, within the heart of hearts, everyone is a pure devotee. So what does it mean to preach to the faithless? It means you should not preach in such a way to someone that you stimulate their faithlessness, which is only a covering of the self. The expert preacher finds the way to penetrate through that covering of faithlessness and find that place within the heart of the person where faith is there. In the desert even, there is water. If you drill deep enough, you will find water. So if one is very expert preacher, one can find a way to connect with anyone in a positive way that instills faith in the heart of that person. This is an art. It takes dedication, it takes determination, it takes practice, it takes sincerity. But those who are advanced in preaching Krishna consciousness, they are expert at doing this. That's how they grabbed us, in spite of our faithlessness, you see. They picked us up from this world of faithlessness and they imbued us, they infused us with the sense of faith, shraddha, faith in God, faith in the devotees of God, faith in Guru, faith in the scriptures. So this is a very important quality. There are other ways of understanding this as well. Not to disturb the minds of the ignorant means. One has to know when to preach and when not to preach. In that book that Prabhupada wrote, a wonderful summary of the description of autumn chapter of the Krishna, of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. He wrote that book, Light of the Bhagavad. Very nice book. And in this book, Prabhupada explains that just as the rivers flow during the rainy season and they go completely dry during the dry season, the great reformers know when to speak and when not to speak. A neophyte devotee who's fired up to preach, he may sometimes create havoc by his preaching. In fact, there was a complaint one time. One lady, you may have read the letter, it's in the Science of Self-Realization. You know that book, Science of Self-Realization?
Yeah.
And that letter is printed in this book. One lady, her name was Mrs. Lynn Ludwig. And she met a fired up young devotee on the parking lot of Kmart, which is a popular chain in America. I think it's gone out of business now. And she was complaining to Prabhupada. She advised him that you should hand pick these little pieces of heaven that you send out to the parking lots. She was complaining the way he was so against the material world. It disturbed her mind. But Prabhupada defended the devotee. He explained that in the beginning, how the young devotee, he's trying to reject everything material to protect his devotional life. It's just beginning. So he may be overly harsh in the way he deals with the material world. It's a means of, he's overreacting. You see? In other words, the neophyte devotee, he's still very attached to sense gratification. So he's overly reacting because he's afraid he'll fall down. He's afraid of being attracted. So he's very, he'll be very, very heavy in the way he deals with non-devotees. Doesn't know how to, he's very tense in dealing with the non-devotees for fear of being contaminated, for example. But someone who's actually maturing in Krishna consciousness, they are feeling strength in their strong sadhana. They're feeling strength having taken complete shelter of their spiritual master and the association of devotees. They are feeling strength in their firm faith in the revealed scriptures. So when they deal with a materialistic person, they don't feel threatened that I may get attracted by what he's into. They're not threatened by them. So they can just be benevolent. They can be very friendly and relaxed. We see how Prabhupada was so friendly and relaxed with people. Just like he was on one airplane, flying in the airplane. And the pilot understood there was a great spiritual master on his plane. So he came out and just sat down with Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was just relaxed and having a wonderful conversation with the pilot. So those who are advanced in Krishna consciousness, they don't feel threatened by a non-devotee. They see everyone is part and parcel of Krishna. Everyone actually wants in their heart of hearts to become Krishna conscious. So let me represent Krishna to them in such a way that they can't resist becoming Krishna conscious. It's described that a Vaishnava is an ocean of mercy. So the Vaishnava then, he's very, very kind. He's a very, very loving person. He just gives all kindness to them and melts their heart by his sweet, loving dealings. The Vaishnava, because he is connected with Krishna, he actually has unlimited love he can give. The materialistic person, they're always scheming, and well, if I give this much, how much will I get back? Like a businessman, a business deal. But a devotee doesn't have any such restriction of thinking, how much am I going to get back from this person? He doesn't have that restriction. He's simply thinking, how can I be an instrument for the mercy of Krishna to flow unlimitedly on this person, to help this person get completely free from is entanglement within the modes of material nature. Prabhupada was very, very expert in knowing what to say to what person. It's not that he had some standard mantras he would just say to everyone, like a machine. For example, one time, I think it was in Paris, many different people, they came for the darshan with Prabhupada. But one man, he came, he was a simple villager, very simple man, very pure-hearted, simple man. So what did Prabhupada do? He just got his harmonium and he sang a bhajan for the man. And the man appreciated it very much and then he left. Prabhupada didn't engage him in any philosophical discussion at all. He just sang a bhajan for him. And then Prabhupada commented that he was a simple man and this was the appropriate way to give him Krishna consciousness. So a devotee is very sensitive to the mentality of the persons to whom he is speaking. And he tries to connect with the super soul within the heart of that person to understand just how I can give this person exactly what this person needs at this moment to ignite the spark of bhakti within the heart, the fire of bhakti. Just like you can go to, what is that, Big Bear, Roop's Big Bear, and you can, they sell clothing also? Yeah. You can go to Roop's Big Bear and buy a business suit. You see? It will fit okay, but you know, not that well. Or you can go to a tailor and he can make you a business suit from scratch, which is perfectly measured to your, fits your dimension, you see. So the devotee, he takes the standard knowledge of Krishna given in the revealed scriptures and revealed to him from within his heart, and he tailor fits that knowledge just for this particular person in their, the particular moment that they're in. You see? And in this way, the highly advanced devotee is very, very effective in attracting people to Krishna consciousness. Krishna blesses him with the understanding how to penetrate all that faithlessness which is covering the faithfulness. How to get beyond all of those roadblocks, you see, that are trying to keep out Krishna consciousness. And connect with that person and give them Krishna consciousness. So these warnings of Krishna not to bewilder them are very good. So we have to then present our Krishna consciousness in such a way that the whole world will become attracted to it. It does not mean we are not meant to preach. We are meant to ignite a cultural revolution in every town, every village, every home on this planet. So how will we do that successfully? We have to remember these warnings of Krishna and see how to give them Krishna consciousness in a way that will be attractive to them, a way that will not unsettle them, that they'll actually feel, this is wonderful. If only I had known about this earlier in my life. You see, this is how we have to become very, very expert to give them Krishna consciousness. So these are very important warnings for Krishna that Prabhupada clarified. Even though Krishna is giving this warning, the devotee understands the innermost desire of the Lord that every living entity should come back to Him. And then he presents Krishna consciousness in such a way that the ignorant men do not become unsettled. One of the greatest examples of this was my godbrother, Jayananda Prabhu, the Rathayatra Acharya. He was so expert in engaging anyone and everyone in Krishna's service. How did he do that? Because he himself was so much in love with devotional service. His duty, he had many, many duties. He worked very hard, practically nonstop. He was working all the time. He would empty the trash. He would take the trash to the dump once a week. He did it with such joy, with such an enthusiasm. He would engage people in assisting him, and it became the most ecstatic experience to take the garbage to the garbage dump. Load up the van with all the garbage and drive it to the garbage dump for Krishna. Became an exciting transcendental adventure to go with Jayananda to the garbage dump. And he was so enlivened to tell people about Krishna, he could be lying underneath the car doing mechanic work, with only his feet sticking out. And some bum who just walked down the road would be standing there, he'd be preaching to him, totally captivated him by his enthusiasm to tell about Krishna. He was very, very expert. Wherever he went, people just loved him. For every year for the Rathayatra, he would get so many things donated. There was that Banana King Louis at the San Francisco Wharf. He was a big fruit merchant. And he would donate huge quantities of produce for the Rathayatra just because he liked Jayananda. He wasn't a devotee, Banana King Louis. He was just some karmi, big, you know, fruit dealer. But Jayananda was so full of compassion and enthusiasm that anyone who would associate with him, they would just want to do some service. It's not that he would preach philosophy to them necessarily, but just his enthusiasm, he could get so many people to donate things for the Rathayatra festival. So this is also stated, don't unsettle their minds, but engage them in works of devotion. So somehow or other, we have to judge the mentality of the person and find the way to give him the opportunity to engage in devotional service. This is a very important thing. This is our duty, to engage everyone in Krishna consciousness. So, I can ask now if there's any questions. Yeah.
Guru Maharaj, could you explain such aspect? When one is practicing driving, then there is a driving instructor sitting next to him. When one is practicing diving, there is a diving instructor. Mm-hmm. When one is practicing surgery, they are using dead bodies. How to practice preaching?
Yes, then you simply go with a senior preacher who can train you. You have to find a senior preacher who will train you how to preach. And you go out preaching with him. You see how he does it. Just like I remember when I was, many years ago, when I was a younger devotee, I sometimes would go with different senior preachers for training. I one time went with our Giriraj Maharaj in Bombay. It was very nice. I saw how he went out for signing up the life members. He was invited to go to some wedding. One of the members was having a big wedding. And so he went to this wedding and he was just booking appointments with people for life membership. to make them life members. But the host kept saying, Maharaj, come and take... It wasn't actually prasadam, it was, you know... It wasn't really prasadam, you know, just some karmi wedding feast. Maharaj, come and take the dinner. He kept saying, yes, yes, egg minute, just now coming. And then he would go on to another man, another appointment. I watched him the whole evening. It was amazing to see. He took me with him and I just observed how he was doing it. And, you know, the host would say, Maharaj, come and take the dinner. And he'd say, yes, yes, egg minute means 1 minute. Egg minute, just now coming. And I noticed the whole hall emptied out, and there was finally just one Hindu gentleman there, and Maharaj was there booking an appointment to meet him. And everyone was gone, and he didn't even take the dinner at the end. But he kept saying, yes, yes, 1 minute, 1 minute. I just noted that technique. He didn't say, oh no, I'm not going to take anything. I'm just here to book appointment. No, he said, yes, yes, 1 minute, 1 minute, 1 minute. But he never took the wedding dinner. He just kept signing up people for appointments for life membership. So you simply have to associate with senior preachers and see how they do it. You will have your opportunities for practice.
How to practice not disturbing other people's minds?
Well, you have to watch very, very carefully how they do it and imbibe it. And then you have to take the chance. You have to just, you know, Krishna will help you. Teisham satata yuktanam brajatam pratipurvakam. Dadami buddhi yogam tam yena yam yena mam upayantite. I remember when I was just joined, and they immediately sent us out for preaching. I didn't find it that difficult. I found it to be great fun, actually. In the very beginning, I mean, I'd been a devotee for like 2 or 3 weeks, and the television station called the temple. We want to interview. We'd like to interview. So the temple president sent me to the television station all by myself to give interview about Krishna consciousness on television. I just hardly shaved up. If you simply hear how the senior devotees do. And I know when I was young brahmachari, I had gotten a wonderful preaching assignment. I was doing a prasad distribution program at the University of Florida, where I would give out prasadam and just preach all day to the university students who were full of so many challenging questions. So, those days, the Bhaktivedanta Tape Ministry had first begun to give us the lectures of Prabhupada as he was, his morning walk conversations. They were first time available. We'd never heard much. But now, all of a sudden, every week, we got a whole package of the latest conversations, lectures, and morning walks of Prabhupada. It was so exciting. So I said, I have to find that my schedule was very busy. You know, the temple president kept me working all day long. When I wasn't out at the campus, I was doing something else, you know, cleaning or this or that. So where am I going to get the time? I want to sit down and take notes on all these tapes. So then I got a bright idea. I just skipped lunch every day. When all the devotees were taking lunch prasadam, I went to my room and I got my notebook out and I listened to the tapes and I took down notes from what Prabhupada was preaching, and I studied very carefully how he was preaching to this type of person, that type of person. Then I would go out to the campus and I would see the type of person and I would try to answer the way Prabhupada would say to them. And it worked. We made devotees on that campus, like anything. So many people joined in that program. So you simply have to hear how the senior devotees preach. You observe very carefully how they are doing in this situation, that situation. Either by direct association or by hearing, by reading. The conversation books are there of Prabhupada. In the Veda base, all the conversations are there. Most of them. Of course, not everything made it, but mostly. So in this way, by studying and then applying it, you will find that you will become effective preacher. It's a fact. You sincerely chant the Hare Krishna mantra, and you hear how the senior devotees, especially Prabhupada, is the master of them all. Prabhupada, the master at whose feet the masters sit. If you will study the way these great empowered preachers spread Krishna consciousness, and then try it yourself whenever the opportunity comes, you'll be amazed at how Krishna can use you as an instrument. One of the best pointers is this. Put yourself out on a limb for Lord Chaitanya, and he will cover for you. You understand what I mean? If you put yourself in a situation where there's no senior devotee there, you got a challenge from someone, you have no idea what to say. Someone says, there is no God. This is simply, you know, religion is the opiate of the people. Some Marxist. And he says, you are simply a blind fanatic. And then what do you do? Do you just go, well, and you just walk away? Or do you think, what can I say to this person to defeat what he just said? And you have no idea. Well, there's a verse. You just depend on the super soul within to give you the answer. And you'll be amazed at what comes out of your heart. How the super soul will give you what to say. This was my experience in learning how to preach over the years. So many things I've learned by reading in the books. But some of the most poignant lessons in how to spread Krishna consciousness were when I was just out there in the field and I had no quote to refer to, and I had to depend on the super soul to give me what to say. And the super soul would give, or Lord Chaitanya. He, super soul, Lord Chaitanya, same thing. So if you put yourself in a situation where you're speaking on behalf of Krishna, you're speaking on behalf of the movement, and there's nobody else to refer to, no senior devotee there who can answer it, and you're the one that has to answer it, and you just depend on Krishna to help you, he will. It's like I'm sitting here, people asking questions. I have to take help from Krishna to answer the question. There may be a quote I remember from Prabhupada's books. There may not be. So I found that this was one of the fastest ways to expand my own knowledge of Krishna consciousness, was by presenting it in every possible chance I got. So Krishna blessed me. I had that desire. I was always looking, where's an opportunity where I can present Krishna consciousness? And then the temple president, he sent me to another temple. And when I got there, they decided that I would be the one that would do all the lectures. When people, like a professor, said we want somebody to come and speak to our class about Krishna consciousness, I was the designated devotee in the temple that would go out to this university, that university. So Krishna blessed me. I had that desire and he gave me so many opportunities to do that. So if you have the desire to preach, if you have the desire to explain Krishna consciousness to others, Krishna will facilitate you. When the opportunity comes, take it. Any other questions? Yeah.
In Hare Krishna movement, in the morning, the sannyasis and the gurus recommend that we should finish our round, 15, 16 rounds before sunrise.
Yeah.
My question is, before sunrise is Brahma Muhurat time, it's more of goodness time. So after 6 o'clock, more of.
After sunrise, the mode of passion comes in, yeah.
Mode of ignorance comes in. My question is, during mode of ignorance time, mode of passion time, our mind can flicker away into material things. Why the Hare Krishna movement recommend us to chant in the morning, during the moment, Brahma time, when everything is very nice in the environment?
So you can get the most benefit. That chanting of 16 rounds, that's how we advance in Krishna consciousness, by chanting quality rounds. So wouldn't you want to chant the best quality rounds possible? So therefore, early morning chanting is recommended. That's how we advance in Krishna consciousness. The quality of our rounds determines how much we are advancing. If our rounds are poor, then our advancement is poor. If our rounds are first class, our advancement is first class. That's why to chant a couple of rounds in the morning and then walk around all day, you know, talking, doing that, you know, answering your phone, Hare Krishna. You know. You're going to advance, but it'll be very slow. If one has to do deity service during the Brahma Muhurta, then get up early and chant, if possible, get up early and chant before Mangalarti. Get up at 3. Get most of your rounds done before Mangalarti. That's better. You can always take a little nap later on. I find that rounds during the day take a much longer time than the early morning. Much, much longer. So it's just good time management also to chant early in the morning. And if you miss the sleep by getting up earlier, then you can sleep anytime. Prabhupada would break his sleep into 2 sections. He would take rest from 10 till midnight, and then he would take an hour and a half nap after lunch. And that's how that was his regulated schedule. He took advantage of those very peaceful time and to do his translation work. Questions more? Yeah.
Why don't have a ruchi in hearing Krishna Katha, and how we can develop our ruchi in hearing Krishna?
Yes. Why does one not have ruchi or taste for Krishna consciousness? What is the solution? How to get over that impediment? This is described in Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto. Shu shru shro shradanashya vasudeva kataruchi syan mahat sevaya vipra punya seva nakirtana. By serving those devotees who are completely free from vice, great service is done. By such service, one gains an affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudeva. So, our deficiency in taste actually comes from the fact that we don't have strong, loving relationships with devotees. Sometimes we think that in ISKCON, the more we can build buildings, our movement is going forward. But I can tell you, that's not a fact. The more we can build strong, loving relationships amongst the devotees, that is our movement moving forward. So our deficiency in hearing means we are committing Vaishnava aparad. We're not properly dealing with devotees, and therefore we have no taste. We're proud, we're arrogant. One has to be humble to relish the sweet nectar. Trinadapi sunichena tarorapi sahishnuna amanina vanadena kirtaniya sadahiri. One has to be very, very, very humble to be able to relish the full nectar of the name. So how do you develop that humility? By serving the Vaishnavas. So we should take every opportunity to serve serve Guru, especially, and to serve all the Vaishnavas. These activities will purify our hearts and enable us to deeply relish the wonderful, beautiful sound of Krishna's names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Those sweet syllables contain more nectar than the universe can even contain. There's so much nectar in this Hare Krishna mantra. But how much are we tasting it? You see, we're hardly tasting anything. Maybe a drop here, a drop there, you see. We're still chanting like a man in the desert. He's getting a little drop here, a little drop there of water. But those who are advanced in Krishna consciousness, they are submerged in Namaras. They are submerged in it, deeply submerged in that Namaras. Relishing the sweetest nectar at every minute. So the key is, how do you associate with the Vaishnavas? That's the key. Are you a servant of the Vaishnavas, or do you find fault with the Vaishnavas? You see? Prabhupada explains, every person has his good and bad qualities. He said, but the Vaishnava, he is that person who sees the good. It's like now this fly, he keeps trying to land on me. You see? Here he comes again, mosquito or fly or something. You see? There's two types of persons. A fly is someone who just looks for the faults. He's simply a pest, actually. He's simply looking for faults. But a Vaishnava should not be like a fly. He should be like the honeybee. He's simply looking for the nectar. The fly will go for the sower. The fly will go for the stool. But the honeybee, he will not go for those things. He will go for the nectar. So we should try to see the nectar, which is there in every devotee. And those who are expert, even in the non-devotees, they can see the wonderful qualities in them by looking very deeply into them. So in this way, try to appreciate the wonderful qualities of all the devotees. And by doing that, by loving the devotees more and more and more, then the sweet, sweet, sweet taste of the name will become tasteable by you. Any other questions? Yeah. How does one?
Enthused.
Yes. How does one become enthused? Well, for me, it's very easy because Prabhupada ordered me to be enthused. And I can just pass on the order. Prabhupada told me, he said, I can see you're a very sincere and enthusiastic boy, so continue enthusiastically as you're doing, and surely Krishna will bless you. So I'll just pass it on to you. I can see, Sumukha, that you're a very sincere and enthusiastic boy. So now continue enthusiastically as you are doing, and surely Krishna will bless you. You see? So if you just take that order that Prabhupada has given, to be enthusiastic is a qualification for getting the blessings of Krishna. Are you greedy for Krishna's blessings or not? Do you want His blessings? Then it's very simple. No matter what's going on, be enthusiastic about Krishna consciousness. This movement, I've been in this movement since 1971, and I've seen it all. I've seen the good, the bad, the beautiful, and the ugly. Believe me, I've seen. But Prabhupada's order was always there. Continue enthusiastically as you are doing, and surely Krishna will bless you. And I've done that, and it works. I've been enthusiastic. I've always been enthusiastic, and I've always been getting the blessings of Krishna. Now, I got that letter when I had just joined. I had just gotten initiated, and I sent my Guru Dakshina in the mail to Prabhupada, and I got that letter back just after my diksha. It was the first letter I got from Prabhupada, personally to me. Well, one letter came, my dear sons. It was to the three of us. We got initiated. That was the first letter, but this was the first personal letter to me individually. And he blessed me like that. Prabhupada blessed me. So that's the easiest way. You have to understand that by being enthusiastic, I will get the blessings of Krishna. So let me get those blessings by always being enthusiastic, no matter what. You see, this works. I know from practical experience. Any other question? So whatever you're doing, be enthusiastic. If you're at Mangal Arati, dive deeply into the wonderful Gurvastakam by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. That Gurvastakam, anyone who sings the Gurvastakam in the early morning hours, they receive a special benediction. So how many devotees here do that? Capitalize on a special benediction. Do you remember the benediction? Do you remember that benediction? It's mentioned.
See Krishna face to face.
Anyone who sings with love and devotion the Gurvastakam during the Brahma Muhurta, the time of death, they will see Krishna face to face. That's the benediction given by Vishwanath Chakravarti for singing Gurvastakam. So everything that we're doing, it's not some ritual. Sometimes we think it's a ritual, you know, it's a Hindu ritual or a Hare Krishna ritual, or, you know. It's not a ritual. Everything that we're doing is scientific. Everything that we do 24 hours a day in the pathway of bhakti under Prabhupada's instructions, it is scientific. It has a meaning, it has a purpose. It's not some cult, blind following of a cult leader. It's a scientific process for awakening the pure love of God which is dormant in the heart. So whatever we do, we should be very enthusiastic. If we're cleaning the pots, it's like the other day the big pot was burned, the rice was burned, so somebody had to clean that pot. Cleaning that pot was a great opportunity to make tremendous advancement. Because by cleaning the black spots out of that pot, one is cleaning the black spots out of one's heart. In fact, there's a famous pastime of Tamal Krishna Maharaj, when he was young brahmachari. That was his service in the San Francisco temple, was to clean the pots. And he became very enthusiastic, understanding this is purifying my heart. My other god brother, Uttama Shloka Prabhu, what was his service in the Detroit temple? Clean the toilet. Now, normally, who would get excited? Okay, your duty is to clean the toilet. But then one think, wow, I get to clean the toilet. Would somebody be excited and thrilled that I get to clean the toilet, all the stool and the urine that people leave there, I get to go and wipe it up? You see, would somebody be enthused to do that? No. Oh, why do I have to do that? Why can't someone, you know, that's a normal reaction. But he was thinking, let me take this with enthusiasm to make this the cleanest toilet, cleanest possible toilet, you see. And he did that, and he made tremendous advancement by doing that. He took it, and he relished, actually. He put himself in a frame of mind that he relished cleaning the toilet every day. Let's see. So this is how we should be enthusiastic. Utsahan nishtayat darya tat tat karma pravartanat. The first item is enthusiasm. Let's see. If you're enthusiastic, then Maya can't touch you. But you must also be patient. Enthusiasm without patience is passion. Patience without enthusiasm is ignorant. Patience with enthusiasm is goodness. So while you're enthusiastic, you have to be patient because the results don't always come immediately. You have to be very patient and maintain your enthusiasm, whether the results come or they don't come, in full faith in the words of Srila Prabhupada. So, one last question before we get ready to head out for Tavayuni tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yes. See, in India there's this idea, Brahman does not clean toilet. That is for untouchable class, you see. So, Prabhupada, when he was giving the temple opening address in Hyderabad, he said, whether you are bathing the deity or you're cleaning the temple, it is the same thing. He says, the temple is the body of Krishna. Don't think otherwise. So actually, the toilet is also the body of Krishna. It's part of the temple building. So whether you're cleaning the toilet or you're bathing the deity, it is the same thing. Prabhupada very solidly established this point. Because he knew in India this mentality is there, that that's for the muchi class, the untouchable class. I am Brahman, I am Suchi, I don't touch toilet. You see? But that is not Vaishnava. That is caste Brahman. And you know what is the fate of a caste Brahman? He is cast into the darkest region of the universe. For his caste consciousness, he becomes cast into the darkest region of the universe. So do not be a caste Brahman. If you are a caste Brahman, you will be cast. So just that toilet is non-different from the deity. Whether you're bathing the deity or you're cleaning the toilet, it is equally glorious. So we'll stop here. Raja Vidya Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.